Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome once again to another episode on the Muzi Wahid podcast. Today, we are going to continue our discussions regarding parenting. And today's episode is brought to you by Yayasan Mendaki. Yayasan Mendaki is a pioneer self-help group for the development of the Singapore Malay Muslim community. It assists students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with education and lifelong learning. If you wish to know more about what they do and how you can get some assistance, please feel free to visit my.mendaki.org.sg. That's my.mendaki.org.sg. Today's episode is about adapting through changes. Yes, changes are a constant and they're always happening. It's something that we can't run away from. And when it comes to parenting specifically, it makes it definitely a lot more challenging. Can you imagine, first of all, living your life single and then being married and then having small children, you're going through different phases and multiple changes, from being able to sleep comfortably into having to wake up every other hour throughout the night, dealing with late night feedings and sometimes tantrums and meltdowns and so on. This is what we're going to talk about today. And we all know that when you're managing a tiny little human being, one of your own, one of your offsprings, you are going to see them, having meltdowns and challenges, and they're going to give you a tough time with all their cries and tantrums and being rebellious to whatever it is that you want them to do. They'll probably want to do the opposite. And it's not even a big thing. It's not even something that you're forcing them to do that is extremely difficult, but it is what it is. That's what parenting is all about, you know. And it's particularly difficult if you're constantly placing the needs of your children ahead of your own, which many of us do, right? Especially with the pandemic recently, where homeschooling became a common thing and all parents needed to adapt through all of the scheduling changes in the house. Juggling between being a parent, being a professional is not a joke at all. It's obviously very, very draining for most of us. And guess what will happen if that condition is prolonged? You guessed it right. It's gonna give you burnout. And parental burnout is a real thing. According to physicians, parental burnout is the physical, mental, and emotional exhaustion that a person feels from the chronic stress of parenting. So the other day I was having breakfast with my wife, and then she was telling me about one of her friends who is around our age now, late 30s, but was blessed with her first child for the very first time, right? She's been trying for a couple of years, but only got the first child recently. And now she's saying that she's struggling to juggle and manage between work, between being a spouse, being a parent to the newborn baby. And then, I said to her, but I guess we were luckier because we started our family earlier. So we were younger. We had more energy, to deal with all of the things that our children come up with, and them falling sick and all. Like, we were able to deal with all of that better when they were younger because we were also younger. And so I can understand her friend's difficulty, because when you are older and you start having kids, while growing in your career, with more responsibilities and all, I'm pretty sure it's not easy, right? So one of the signs of parental burnout is that you will notice yourself getting easily angered. You're triggered by all the small little things that your children do around the house. Like, they create a mess, they trip and they fall, they fight, and then they cry, amongst themselves. you know, refusing to eat, forgetting their homework, like every single thing is going to annoy you to the max. And this will cause you to feel angry at yourself eventually for losing your temper so easily. Yeah. And other things that could be the signs and symptoms of you experiencing a burnout would be that you might experience forgetfulness. You forget that, you know, your son has tuition. You forgot that your daughter has enrichment. You forget that, and this has happened to me before. I think I sent my daughter to school for, she's in childcare, and then I'm at the front of the gate of the school, and then there's a memo that says school is closed. And we forget that school was closed and we're not supposed to send the child to school. And so all the panic and drama in the morning, I have to send her back home or find someone to babysit her and so on. So all of these things do happen every now and then, but don't panic. To me, it's just something you just need to get over. It's just one of those days. And if you deal with it with patience, inshallah, you'll be able to overcome it eventually. Yeah. Other things would be increased feelings of anxiety, depression, and constantly questioning your ability to be a good parent. I get this a lot, you know, messages where parents feel the guilt of not giving their children as much as they deserve, the guilt of not sitting down with their kids and going through their work and talking about their day. They feel guilty for not being able to do all of that. So the guilt adds on to the, and causes increased anxiety and makes you angry, and you snap at your kids when you're actually mad at yourself, you know. And then you tell yourself, no, I need to do this, but then your body just breaks down because it's too tired. So can you imagine, like, one after another, multiple things falling on you at the same time? So it can get pretty overwhelming. Feelings of inadequacy is also another thing, being confused, and so on. So when pandemic happened, it taught us that it's important for us to look after ourselves. Yeah. So the topic, I remember when I was during the 2.5 years of the pandemic, a lot of the engagements I got to speak was revolving around the topic of self-care and self-love, because people forgot about themselves. They forgot to take care of themselves. They overlooked the need to rest and to take a break and to just sit down and enjoy a cup of coffee or tea or desserts or whatever it is, right? We forget to do that. So one of the key takeaways now that we're gradually moving out of the pandemic is to keep whatever that was good that we already started practicing during those few years. And, you know, if you notice your colleagues, perhaps your neighbor, who appears to be going through a tough time being a parent, or especially being a new parent, because you've gone through some of those things, it's important that you try to reach out to them and ask if they're okay and whether they need any tips, advice, or even help that you can offer. So what are some of the other signs that you are experiencing burnout? Okay, the more common symptoms that is often listed down by medical professionals, they say, you know you're experiencing burnout when you're constantly feeling drained and tired all of the time. When somebody, you know, they come back home from work and they say, I'm exhausted. Like every single day they say, I'm exhausted. And what they're communicating is not just physical exhaustion, but mentally as well, and emotionally too. Because every day that we go out and we meet with people and we interact with colleagues and clients and customers and our children, all of these emotions, they accumulate. And one by one, every interaction, it seeps and takes away, sucks out a bit of your energy. Because one, there's a conflict. One, that person made you angry. Another one, you caused someone to get angry and upset at you. Another one, you were disappointed by the outcome or something. Like all of those things together, it just, adds up the feeling of exhaustion. Another sign is you feel helpless, you feel hopeless, you're in a constant state of self-doubt. Okay, you feel helpless because you have so many things to do and you only have this much time, you only have this much capabilities, you know you need help, but you don't know who to ask help from. And so you end up doing whatever it is that you needed to do on your own anyways, but you always feel like giving up. Feeling hopeless, you doubt your own capabilities, you know. So that's one of the challenges of going through burnout. Another one, it's more physical, like headaches, you know, feeling a strain on your neck. Sometimes I feel that. Muscle aches. These are more physical signs where you notice your body experiencing. Usually like a simple massage and going to sleep early could actually help. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. Other symptoms would be loss of motivation, changes in appetite, sleeping habits, detachment, feeling alone in the world, feeling easily irritated, you know, and self-isolating behaviors. We just want to be on your own. You don't want to go out. You don't want to meet with people. You don't want to hang around with family and friends. You just want to stay in your own space all by yourself. These are all some of the signs that we know we could be experiencing a bit of a burnout, okay? So now that we know some of these common symptoms, let's together try to adapt through the changes in our lives by taking some necessary steps to cope. Number one, I mentioned this earlier, get enough sleep. Okay? So enough sleep means that you need a couple of extra minutes and even hours. And this is especially important for new parents who have a newborn who wakes you up several times throughout the night. In fact, I would say even if your child is a toddler, because it happens to me too, you know, as a toddler, they would wake up at 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. and sometimes, you know, it just keeps waking up for whatever reason. They have bad dreams, they're having a nightmare, they're coughing nonstop, something wakes them up. You know, or maybe they're a light sleeper and they wake up and then they wake you up, okay? Or they run into your room from their room. So when this happens on a daily basis, your sleep always gets interrupted. And when that happens, it makes you feel tired, even though it looks as though you slept 7 hours. But the truth is, you woke up 4 or 5 times. So how can that even be quality sleep? Sleep is crucial for our mental health. That's a fact. And so how do you deal with this? Well, I know that you just need to brave through the days, the months, and the early years of parenting. What you can try to do, though, to make up for those lost hours, is to try to take a nap during lunch hour. You know, maybe you have an early lunch or bring something to eat at work from home, and then finish it in 15 minutes, and then you can nap for half an hour perhaps. Okay? Of course, in Islam, we are familiar with this term called Qailula. Qailula is those short naps that you take around noon, you know? And this is a great way to restore your energy and also to reduce stress. When you take these short naps, you will feel less lethargic after lunch hour. And you will notice yourself improving in your focus and also having your emotions properly regulated, you know, stabilized in a sense. The next tip I would like to share with you is to exercise. I know most of you will argue that there is only so much time that you can squeeze in another additional activity in your day with your long to-do list. Some of you, the idea of needing to work out, you just switch off. You know, like, oh man, I'm not going to do this. I don't have the time and I'm not excited by the idea. So what you can try to do is, I would suggest that you make it interesting, you make it fun. For example, you may want to exercise with your kids 3 times a week. Build, you know, walking them to the park, you know, they might want to ride their bicycles, their scooters or whatever. Let them, and then you are with them. Just going out with them is an exercise in itself, right? But if you walk with them at the beach or at the park, sometimes that may help you. And you know, doing exercise doesn't only just help you with your fitness, but it also helps you to breathe better, and it increases your energy when you need it, and helps you to sleep earlier and better at night. Okay. Another thing you can try to do is to talk with your spouse about the fact that you think you might be experiencing some kind of a burnout. I always encourage this, as you know, being vulnerable with your emotions sometimes may seem like it's a bad thing, as if like it's some crime, but actually it's not, you know. Be honest. Don't be afraid to admit you're struggling or overworked or you're feeling overwhelmed. Tell them exactly what you need. Like, I need a break. I need you to help me out. I need you to take over some of the things that I'm, currently managing on my own. Just talk to your spouse, okay? And let them know exactly how you want to be helped. Let them know exactly how they can be helpful. Being clear and upfront is way better than just expecting and assuming that they will do something about it, that they will know when and what needs to be done. Okay? And so when you talk to your spouse, eventually, inshallah, your spouse will know the new expectations. They'll try to adapt to support you better. And they'll be more empathetic, right? They'll start seeing things from your perspective because you finally communicated with them exactly how you feel. Another thing we can try to do, and this is what I have known so far to be one of the most effective methods of all, and that is to have a support network. If a support network currently doesn't exist, maybe you want to build it, initiate it. You gather a few parents who have children around the same age as you do, and then say, you know what, I want to start a support group so that we can talk to each other about the struggles we face as a young parent, you know? So you can start with, you know, your friends and your colleagues, and then slowly grow it into a mini community. It doesn't have to be a lot of people, you know. Sometimes just 10 people, 15, 20 people. It's nice, you know. You get to hear what other people are going through. You can give them advice. And whenever you're going through a rough patch, you get to hear what they have to suggest. Okay? Another kind of support network is for you to do one or to have one with your teachers. I know some schools, they already have something like this in place where there is a regular meetup between parents and the teachers in the school. So if you're overwhelmed by the need to always check in with your kids and their homework and the stress of preparing for the exams and so on, having this kind of a gathering, maybe once a quarter or once every 2 months, can actually help you a lot, okay? Maybe some of the things that you can ask is, how do parents prioritize more on their child's progress? You know, how do parents help their children to manage with their progression? Example, some of them may need more tuition, and some of them just need their parents to be more involved and things like that. Ask, how can we boost our children's self-esteem? What do you do? You know, you ask each other, you ask the teachers to get direct and immediate feedback and also ideas and suggestions, okay? So starting an initiative like this, whether it's just with the parents or between parents and teachers, will open up the doors of communication, and you will feel less overwhelmed because you know that there's an outlet here for you to always share and talk to them and let them know exactly how you are feeling at the moment, and then benefit from their sharing too. So, you know, when we're going through changes in our lives and our children are growing up and all of that, the thing that we must always strive to try to get to is to adapt through the changes. Okay, being resilient in parenting and being social to a certain extent, like I said earlier, in all of those groups and support groups, can actually lift you a little bit, you know, from all the pains and you don't feel alone when you're going through all of this. The most important thing is you know that others are there with you and they are supporting you. And whenever you're feeling down, you know you can just text the group or message them in the group or whatever, whether it's a Facebook group, whether it's a Telegram, WhatsApp, whatever. You know that there are people there listening and they're not going to judge you because they're also going through something similar or they have gone through a similar experience. Don't be shy to ask questions, okay? If you don't know how to do something, just don't feel so defeated, like, it's so embarrassing, I don't even know how to do this. No, just ask, okay? What I've learned is that in these kind of support groups, nobody's there to judge. Everybody's there to learn and to share. And so ask questions to gain a better understanding of how to manage yourself, your time, and also how to assist your children accordingly. And one last thing to remember is when we talk about adapting to changes, it will require some time. Don't rush yourself. Don't force yourself to make those changes immediately. Everything takes time. Okay? So help your children to be open to discovering new experiences. And along the way, you learn with them. You grow with them. And if you prove that changes are always happening and adapting takes time, improvement takes time, your children will also pick that up. And they won't be the kind of kids who will grow up always being hard on themselves. They understand that every step of improvement you're trying to make in your life will require some time. Okay? So, my closing statements is that burnout is not only limited to parental burnout, obviously. It happens to many people, work-related, family pressure, and so on. And to summarize, here are some additional tips that you can just jot down and take note of. You may want to separate yourself from the current situation that you're in. What I mean by this is take a few steps back, get a wider perspective, the big picture, and then see things from a distance. And from that kind of angle, you might be able to see things better, especially when you look at yourself and how you're dealing with it. If you are overreacting, you'll see. If you are making a big deal out of nothing, then you'll also notice that. So that will help you to calm down and relax a little bit, inshallah. So separate yourself from the current situation. Number two, admit mistakes early and often. Especially this is when you are having that one-on-one conversation with your spouse. If you feel like, I think I stretch myself too much, thinking that I could do everything on my own, admit those mistakes. Like, you know, maybe before you have children, you may have overestimated yourself and said, oh, it's okay, I can still work full-time, I can still have a kid, I can still, do the house chores, everything on my own. Like, at some point, if you think that this is too much, just admit it and say, okay, what are our options? You know, could we get some, you know, one of our parents or in-laws to live with us, to support us? Could we afford a helper at the moment? Could we send our kids to childcare, you know, full time, like 7 to 7? Like, when you admit, it allows for such conversations to happen. Where you're looking for solutions. Okay, don't allow your ego to stand in the way. No. I believe I can. I don't want to do this. You know, it's so embarrassing to need help. It's not embarrassing to need help. In fact, when you get help, you'll have more energy to do all of the things that you wanted to do with your loved ones. Okay. Adjust the dials of your beliefs. Travel is another tip that you may want to consider, especially now that the borders have reopened. And try to challenge yourself also. It's another tip I would share. What I mean by challenge is just, okay, you have always been doing things a certain way when it comes to parenting. trying to read up on other parenting tips from books and from groups, support groups, and then attempt one of those things. You know, whenever you're trying something new, surely that is going to be considered a challenge because you don't know how you're going to be able to do it well or not and how the kids are going to react to it. But it's going to be fun. Just be open to the idea. When you have something new and exciting to pursue and try, that also removes a lot of the fatigue. Yeah. And lastly, closing statements, changes, they always happen. As I said in the opening, the only constant thing in life is change. So you adapt through changes. You know, it's adapting through changes is key to have a contented and peaceful life. So, dear parents, let's walk through adapting the changes with our ways. And remember, change is the law of life. Sometimes it's beautiful, sometimes not. But most of the time, it's a bit of both, and that's okay. All right? So, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. This episode, once again, is brought to you by Mendaki. If you want to check them out and what they do and what they offer, you may visit them at my.mendaki.org.sg. Thank you, everyone, and I'll talk to you soon in the next episode. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.